Hello, and welcome to Shoes Off No Cap, a podcast where we talk about all things dance. Producer Sean here to kick us off with Season 2. In this episode, Diana, Izaz, Ellie, and myself talk a little bit about what we've been up to these last few months, and we also share a little bit on what we're planning for the year ahead. So, keep your eyes peeled. It was really great catching up with everyone again, and to talk about life now that things are slowly going back to normal. So without further ado, it's time to sit back, relax, and let's dive deep into Shoes Off No Cap Season 2.
How is everybody?
Good.
I don't know why my first reaction was to laugh nervously. It's a very loaded question to ask.
It's a heavy question.
Very. I think because we don't have the script right now. Not script, the question list. Usually we would prepare a question list. That's my bad, guys. I was supposed to prepare it. I'm sorry.
I mean, we can still kind of just talk as well.
I think the questions were just like, what have we been up to? You know what? You guys start with, how is Malaysia and how's like your life in Malaysia right now? Or like the past 2 months?
Since we last met.
Oh yeah, since we last met. Duh.
Yeah. Like the last time we recorded was the last time that all four of us were in the same place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
After that, I saw all of you like separately.
Was that in October?
November.
November.
Yeah.
Well, Izaz got married.
Yeah, I got married.
I got something for this. What?
So Izaz got married.
Yeah, Izaz got married.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much, guys. I mean, I feel like for the entirety of like season one, I've been saying that like, okay, I'm being busy getting ready to get married, you know, like wedding prep and all that stuff. Yeah, guys, avoid getting married during a pandemic. Yeah, especially when we had like, you know, you guys remember like in 2020, the lockdown wasn't as bad as 2021. Mm-hmm. In 2021, like we were on lockdown, like I feel like for the entirety of the year.
I felt that too.
Nothing was open. And then once they reopened all the government offices and things like that, we had to go and get our registration. We had to go to the Pejabat Agama and there was like massive queues and we had to queue for like 3 times. And each of those times, like, it was literally from 6:30 a.m. until 9 something. So it's just so many hours just gone, just waiting for someone to just tell you that, hey, you guys can go and get married. I mean, there was so much backlog in people. And then getting a venue was difficult. The first hotel that I approached, they double booked my booking with someone else. I had to look for another venue like 3 weeks before the actual event itself. Thankfully, there's this other hotel that could accommodate us. We went to sue that hotel, the first hotel. We kind of won. So they paid us the sum difference of booking the other hotel. So that's great. Yeah, things are cool. Married life is pretty cool, guys.
What's the difference?
The biggest difference. Life. Say the line.
It's very convenient.
Because
I don't have to send her home anymore. I just go home with her now.
Yes. Gas money, petrol money.
Oh, the practicality.
How about you, Ellie?
Oh, well, it's been quite a hectic 2 months. I shot a music video, which is coming out soon. It's not my music video. It's for a local band, which Sean actually already saw.
Yes, it's amazing.
Yeah, so I can't wait for that to come out. There's also a bunch of dance things that I'm working on. I can't really say right now because they haven't officially announced it, but I think like maybe in a few weeks it'll be announced so then I can talk about it. But for now, I can't really talk about it. But it's really exciting. It's going to be a workshop and stuff with people and projects. So that's going to be cool.
Are you working still? Or are you still?
Oh, yeah, I just started. No, I started a new job. They're pretty chill. I mean, it's busy, but they are quite flexible with like work hours and stuff. So I'm really happy about that.
Yeah. So happy for you. So many opportunities. Oh my gosh.
I'm so glad. I mean, there's so much other like bullshit going on, not gonna lie. And I think you're all in my close friends, so you know what's going on. Like there's the whole having to move to a different place and finding a place. So that was pretty crazy, and organizing my financials.
But you've moved already, right?
I secured a place, but I haven't moved there yet because I'm still waiting for my lease to end. So I'm really excited about that. Ooh. And I've been like putting Pinterest images together just to kind of have an idea of like what I want my place to look like.
Nice.
I'm so excited.
When are you moving then?
Like end of March, early April. Officially, it's 1st of April, but I can pretty much just jet like end of March.
And then once you're in your new place, you can get your new cat, right?
Yeah. Izaz is holding my soon-to-be kitty.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Zira is helping to foster a really tiny baby kitten. She was really, really small. And it's like barely, if you look at your hand, it's like that she crosses barely like the space between your thumb and your last pinky fingertip. So... we've fed her enough, and then she's gaining a bit more weight. So hopefully once she reaches, I think 1 kg, then we can go and vaccinate her before we send her off to her new mommy, which is Ellie. She's a bit of a naughty girl, you know, so good luck lah, Ellie.
Good luck lah.
Good luck.
Yeah, I'll see how it goes. It's okay.
Very, very, very energetic. Because there's another cat at home as well, Chiki. And so they like to play together. But Chiki is an older cat. Chiki is almost an adult. She gets tired. But I mean, we haven't had a name for the kitten yet. So we call her Oyin because it's an Oyin, you know. So Oyin is really, really energetic, you know, like she doesn't get tired, you know. So
I mean, she's a young cat.
Yeah. So yeah, we really have to like always constantly monitor them.
Mm-mm. Is Chiki the one that looks out the window?
Yeah. I think all cats look out the window.
No, but yours specifically like pokes its head into the curtain. So you see is the body.
Yeah, that's
it's so dramatic.
Every day he just like, you know, disappears behind the curtains, you know. To see the world outside.
What about you guys? What have you guys been up to?
Yeah, Sean, I see you everywhere in the local dance scene right now. And you're like,
you're making moves. So hungry. Damn.
You're shooting so many dance videos now. You're shooting so many K-pop covers now. You've like a principal photographer or videographer for so many Mustang projects already.
Dope.
Do you have any tips for people who want to like, you know, strike it out like you did?
Put your foot in the door. If they close the door on your foot, at least they can't close it.
Oh.
Break it.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Break the door.
Force your way in. But yeah.
So when your foot is in the door and then they close the door breaks, right? Not your foot, right?
Yeah, that's the idea. Get ready for that.
Lessons learned.
It might hurt a little bit, but at least they can't close the door.
Oh, yes.
The last few months have been quite insane. The last time we recorded, I said I was doing like a self-imposed dance camp where I challenged myself to do 50 classes in 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't stop there.
Okay. Of course.
So it went on. I challenged myself in October. Then in November, I was like, I can still manage this. Let's keep going. And I kept going. And the next thing I know, it's January. And at that point, I was doing like between 40 and 50 classes a month for like 3 months, 4 months straight. And it's been really fun. And on top of like going to so many classes and learning from all the instructors over at Mustang, I've also been shooting a lot of like dance projects, passion projects, K-pop cover projects, and then also like some stuff with Mustang. Yeah, a lot of things have happened. And it's still pretty crazy. I am a little overwhelmed. I am a little burnt out, but I need to start getting more sleep again.
Yeah, I was wondering, when do you sleep, Sean?
I don't. Actually, I do, but less than I'd like to.
To be
we'll work on that.
And energetic.
So yeah, that has kind of been what I've been up to in these last few months on top of working. Also, I had COVID for a bit. Not fun, but it kind of forced me to slow down. So it's kind of a blessing.
That was during Chinese New Year,
yeah,
right?
That was during Chinese New Year. So I was forced to slow down and like not do anything for a week. But even though like not do anything for 10 days, I ended up editing every single day for projects that were backed up. So that
was a good break lah for you.
There was a good physical break, but mental break, it not there.
It's still breaking.
It's still breaking, yeah. Because throughout that whole period, I was still editing every day, from Eclat project to other like client project to my own personal projects. And then I had COVID at the same time. So fun, not fun. At least I was sitting down for once.
I like your BFM video.
Oh my god,
that one. Oh yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, we're gonna release the first episode soon, so keep your eyes peeled, guys.
When is it coming out?
Tomorrow, actually.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yep. Nice.
Episode 1.
Oh, Diana.
Yeah.
Did you watch Sean, Izaz, and Zira doing me and Arif's choreo for the Valentine's workshop?
Of course, I did.
Oh my gosh, oh my God. Tell them about your workshop.
Yeah, we adopted Sean.
Yeah, so
it was a good concept, right? You adopted Sean, and like the son is so sad, and we're trying to like cheer up the son.
See, like that was a very elaborate storyline. I thought they were just friends and like backing each other up, saying like, you know, whatever happens, we got each other.
That means our concept didn't really shine through, Sean.
No, but it was just me. It's okay.
It wasn't communicated well.
That means
how do you communicate? You're adopting a scene. Oh my god. Yeah, but that was nice. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I really liked it. Like the last bit as well, where they improvised that whole thing. I saw them like in the corner of my eye just choreographing the little ending, and it was so cool.
Wow, dedication.
We were actually imitating you guys, you know, like that
I felt that.
That role. And then the sudden stop. Yeah, we were imitating you and Ari.
Yes.
I felt the milky musicality shine through.
It's like, hey,
what did I say to you, Sean, the other day? It was like, okay, let's drag it. Okay, done. The entire 8 counts. Drag.
And then step and walk.
Yeah, that's what Eddie and Arif does, right?
That's what we did in Azim's workshop as well, when I was paired up with Izaz and NU.
NU, yeah.
NU, yeah. Yeah, we didn't know what to do in the end. So we just milked like 3/8
and went the whole way.
Wait, 3/8?
Yeah, 3/8.
It was 3/8, right?
Yeah, milk, stop. And then
it was like every
8,
it was a milk move.
The Milky Way.
Yeah. A little bit of texture here and there.
Yeah, we're so milky. The health inspector is going to shut us down because we have not pasteurized the milk yet.
Oh my gosh. Wait, is this?
Yeah, it's okay. This does not have to go on the...
No, I missed the dance scene there, just vibing with you all.
Yes, you are in... You are in Boston now. Tell the audience your experience so far of dancing across the US.
Not just across the US, but like you went to the some of the biggest or most influential or at least like most famous dance studios in LA. You know, you went to Millennium. Mm-hmm. You went to what was the other one? I forgot already. Which one you went
Playground.
To?
And then 88 Studios.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was that the only three that I went to?
I think so.
Wait.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Did you manage to go to Tuscan? Do you still have a? Is the Kinja's complex still there?
No, they died.
Oh no,
they died.
Yeah, they did. Kinja's dojo died. Movement Lifestyle died.
Yeah. Oh, fun fact: the 88 Studios. It was previously ML. So like technically, I was kind of there.
did you like wipe your hands on the floor and then like rub it all over you so that you get the
the good dance juju,
all them good
the mojo jojo, you know.
Mojo jojo.
Oh my god, you remind me of that cartoon. Mojo jojo.
Okay, wait. All right, so can you like tell us, you know, like what was it like? You know, because like none of us have ever been there. None of us have ever like danced with in a full, I don't know, California, LA dancer in your setting. Like, what was it like?
Okay, first, like to backtrack to let the listeners know. Oh. So I went to LA on the 5th of January. And this trip is just to realize my digital nomad dream, basically. I have this dream to like live like a digital nomad before I turn 30. And so, yeah. since the restrictions have lifted. So I'm like, okay, book flight, go, let's go. So yeah, in LA, I lived there for 1.5 months and I took dance classes. And I, yeah, like Iza said, I went to what's that? Millennium, my God.
Astaghfirullah.
Astaghfirullah.
I'm still asleep. It's like 9 a.m. here. Okay. So yeah, went to Millennium Playground 88. So how was it like? Oh my God. It was intense. I think that's the word, like intense and kind of competitive. And like the vibe is different than in Malaysia. Like for me coming here, I came with like the mindset of, you know, we dance to have fun and to vibe with friends, the community, blah, blah, blah. Like I didn't come in to like compete in a way. Like I just wanted to experience stuff.
Did it feel competitive?
Sometimes like looking around, like other people was like, they're so full on. Even like during marking, or well, there's no marking actually. Even during like,
just straight up.
Straight up. Like when the instructor was teaching, tak ada orang pun buat mistake.
Oh, flawless.
Wow.
Like flawless from the start. So I'm like, what the hell? When the instructor, I'm like, okay, do this step one. They don't count. That's the thing. And like, kikikika, and all that. And then like, okay, y'all show me. And like, everyone was perfect. I'm like, I messed up like big time. I like just like stand in front because I'm short.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So like, I could obviously see I was the only one doing like mistakes.
No, I'm sure there are other people made mistakes as well.
But how did that feel for you?
I think I wasn't that bothered because I'm so used to making mistakes. So I'm like, okay, all right, just work it out. Like, yeah, I know like during when it was like learning time, I allowed myself to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
When performing time, then I'm like, okay, let's do this. So yeah, I think at this point in like my dance experience, I'm like, I can catch up in a way, like, which I'm like, okay, yeah, I did mistakes during like the first hour of the class. And then like during the final half hour, I'm like, okay, just brush up and like put in my flavor and all that. And I'm like, just vibing with music. It was more of a fun thing for me. Like, I didn't stress myself out so much. So it's good that I came in with that kind of mindset instead of like, okay, I need to be the best. So like, yeah.
Did you manage to make any friends?
Just one.
From the classes?
From one of the classes in Playground. Well, before going to class, like, okay, so Playground can their studios, like, it's just a short lot. So when you want to wait for the next class, you have to wait outside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like I was just like talking to a girl. So yeah, she's from Hong Kong, but she's studying here.
Oh.
And yeah. Somehow we just like vibe and that's it. Yeah.
Nice.
But like other people, they're just like either they know their own friends already or they just don't care. They don't say hi. They don't even make eye contact. So I'm like, okay.
Oh, wow.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right, right?
What do you mean sounds about right?
I mean, just like knowing how it is in different places in the world, it just sounds about right. Like people have their own groups and like they won't really say hi to you if they don't know you. It's such a normal thing, but it's quite intimidating still.
I'm like, I was trying to give like a benefit of the doubt, maybe like, I don't know, because I'm a foreigner and then they're not used to it. But I'm not sure if that's the culture or...
A lot of people just come and go because I'm guessing like lots of people would come to LA for like a few classes. So like, it's not really like a big deal if someone new comes in because like so many people would come and go.
Yeah, actually at Millennium, I kind of talked to a girl who came from Sweden, was it? Or some European country. Like then I didn't see her again. So I think that's valid. Like, yeah, people just come and go, especially in Millennium. Well, in Playground too, but.
So which was your favorite class so far?
I think I like Mary Poppins.
Ooh, that poppin', yo. Get poppin'.
It's poppin', yeah.
Honestly, yeah. I think, yeah. Very you.
And she's so fun. She's like, she teaches very well. Like the whole 1 hour and 15 minutes, it's like, yeah, we drill. But then like she put in some games as well. And she explains like each one, like really explain the details. So it's really nice. And she's nice. She's a really friendly, because I think she's French. Yeah, and she is. European country, so not American. So that's snobbish. Like one, I put David Moore. I went to like he's fun. He teaches all right. And his choreo routine is fun. It's like hip hop based, but like it's all very performance, I feel much like, you know, like in Mustang, each instructor would, well, most instructors, I guess, would like look at the students and like spot who's new. Then like ask them what's their name, blah blah. Like, but most instructors in LA, like they just start class like, hey everyone, what's up? Okay, today we're gonna do the.
Wait, how many people are usually in like one class?
I think it could reach out to like 30 easily.
Oh my gosh, that's huge!
Wow,
is the space big?
Yeah,
in Millennium. Yeah, in Millennium there's two studios, so like each studio is quite big. You know, the normal one that you see on videos, that's the biggest one. And then there's another smaller one. But okay lah, quite spacious. Playground also very spacious. Actually, the studios are all spacious. When it's packed like Alexander Chung's class and Lai Beniga's class, because they're famous and all that. So it was quite packed. Literally packed.
Oh yeah, I saw. I think you posted like a snippet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, at that point, like, how do you even have space to dance? There's so many people in there.
I haven't thought though. I think it's like pre-pandemic kind of like feel. So like there is some space, but like
you just gotta make do, right?
Yeah, we just gotta make do. But then like, yeah, as usual they'll split in the middle, like, okay, group A, B, like split in half.
Get their space.
Yeah. It's like tak ada COVID pun.
Yeah.
But it's great. Like, I mean, they check like your vax status and like you still have to wear mask.
In the class or outside the class?
In the class.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, I assume that they didn't like wear masks anymore inside the class.
No, they still do. But then like, I think the videos that you see, sometimes they just take it off when they're filming.
Just for the video?
Yeah, just for the video. But like for me, I tend to like just put it down under my nose because I can't breathe. I need to breathe.
I know you feel.
Yeah, and then like some people do that too. So yeah, the instructor tak pakai though. So like yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Teaching dance with a mask on, even without the mask on, you feel like you're running a marathon.
Yeah, because you're like moving and you're practically singing at the same time.
Yeah.
With a mask on. Oh man.
I remember like the first time I went for Iza's class, and that was like my first class during the pandemic, and we started with our masks on.
Yeah.
And it was like the next moment that we were covered in sweat, and I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this.
Would you do it again though, Diana?
I would do it again with a friend or like you guys or like someone I know.
Let's go, let's do it, right then, let's go, guys, come, lie.
I'm gonna mess up most of the chorus that I learned over there, but yeah, let's go guys, let's go. Everybody else can like do it perfectly, all the, I don't know,
we're comfortable with making mistakes.
Yeah, we're comfortable in making mistakes, right? And in our own skin. So all three or four of us are just like one circle and then like one or two counts later than everyone else.
You know, like when they ask, I'm like, who wants the floor? It'll be the four of us. And we'll like, mess up. But
yeah, we'll just
be like pausing at one point and looking at each other like, and then, yeah, let's keep going.
Malaysia, everybody.
Malaysia.
Oh my God.
And the instructor will be like, oh, so this is how Malaysian people dance.
Oh no.
Whack. I'm very glad though, like I got like one video from Millennium, one from Playground. So like, okay, I'm okay.
Yeah. Did you have to pay for that?
No.
Oh, you didn't have to pay for the videos?
Someone will record it for you, is it? And then you just go to the counter and they'll airdraw or something like that?
So like for Millennium, because, well, I think it's different instructor, I'm not sure, but like Millennium, it was David Moore. So like I just Instagram DM him on Instagram and ask him for the video and he just Dropbox me.
Wow.
Like,
oh my God. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. No, yeah. Same with Playground Face Off. Yeah, I just DM and then drop off. I wanted to get Kenny Wormald's punya video because I was in one of the recorded ones, but he tak reply and he tak nampak. I think he's too famous.
Oh no.
He didn't check his requests. Oh, so I'm like, yeah. And then like Playground LA pun tak responsive. I'm like, oh yeah, one thing, their custom service online is like whack.
Oh no.
I mean, we are going Mustang. Mustang is like...
Yeah, Mustang is still the best, man. Like hospitality, humility, yeah. Like...
Yo.
Honestly.
Side note to our listeners, we are not affiliated or sponsored by Mustang.
Yeah, we are not sponsored.
Not sponsored by Mustang. We are not receiving any payments from Mustang for saying all of this. They're just that good.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Not saying that like other studios are not good. But we just... saying that Mustang has been quite exceptional with their customer service.
Yeah. And I've been like a Mustang loyal Mustanger. Mustanger.
What is a Mustang student called? Mustanger. Mustanger.
Mustanger.
Mustangies.
Well, they had like the Avengers kind of concept. So like Mustangers. But I'm not sure if
Mustanger.
That's
for
themselves.
Oh, the Mustangers thing. Yeah. I read it as like Mustangers. So.
Mustanger.
Oh,
yeah. We need to get Marvin to clear this up when we bring him on. Which kind of brings us to our next question of what are our plans for Choose Off No Cap this year?
More interviews, for sure. And then what's offline, Sean, Izzaz, Ellie?
Izzaz, you pretty much like organized the first like offline thing that we're going to do. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I think at the time of publishing this episode, I think it's already like passed already, but like we are actually in the process of organizing a K-pop pre-competition showcase. So I think everybody over here like kind of knows like before you go to a competition, what most teams would do is that like they'll organize a showcase, you know, they'll invite friends or family or like other teams or even like other guests, other dance teachers to come and see their full dress rehearsal. And they'll go all out and as if they perform on the performance day or on the competition day itself. So yeah, so it's been, we kind of wanted to treat this as our test bed for how well we can organize on-ground events in the future. And I think so far things have been going well. We have 3 teams lined up for the showcase. We even have like 2 very experienced K-pop dance cover judges as well to come and judge and give feedback. And yeah, I mean, we would, if COVID was not a thing to worry about, we would definitely have invited more teams, but we wanted to keep the headcount low.
Yep.
We wanted to minimize the risk. So we limited it to 3 teams. And yeah, hopefully everything works out well. We definitely want to do more of these kind of things in the future. Sometime during this year as well, we will also be looking into some other events. Maybe. Workshops. Maybe. Or community classes. But then that's a big maybe. So yeah, take whatever I say with a huge fistful of salt. Throw it in the fire and take some more salt and throw it again. That's how much salt that you have to like, you know, take my statements with.
Do you know what I imagine when you say that?
What?
I put the Harry Potter.
Yeah, the flu powder.
I wish I had the flu powder to like just go color. To Malaysia right now.
Diagonally and a boom.
Kuala Lumpur, boom.
In terms of our guests for this season, I think you guys can look forward to a lot of interesting guests and topics as well. We will be covering dance studio operations. We will go into more in-depth of what we talked about in season 1. Oh, speaking of season 1, I have the data and statistics for season 1. You guys want to hear it?
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
All right. So for season 1, we have like a total of 1,354 plays.
Oh.
So I'm not sure if this is unique or if this is accumulated. But yeah, that's we managed to land about like 1.3K plays. Our estimated audience is around 70 to 80. So that's kind of good, you know. I mean, for people who've never done podcasts and who've never like podcasted before or created any podcast. I mean, I don't know about you guys. Have you guys ever done a podcast before? I mean, I know Sean has.
No, right? I mean, it was not my own podcast, so I don't consider it mine.
Yeah, 70 to 80 like listeners in the audience. That's like pretty good, you know. I was kind of like expecting good. About like, I don't know, 10 to 20 for season one.
That's like great. We can fill up how many Mustang Studios. I measure things in Mustang Studio B's. That's like 15 people in one
Mustang
room.
Studio B, 2 Mustang Studio B's, 3 Mustang Studio B's. Our top episode is the very first episode that we put out. But that so far has been our most successful. I mean, if you measure success in terms of how many plays we've had, that has been our most successful episode. It has about 95 plays, sexual harassment in the dance scene. Granted that it's our first episode, so it has like many more months for people to like listen to it or discover it. And also maybe when some people discover our podcast, they would tend to go to the first episode to like listen to it, you know. So I'm not sure what counts as a play. Is it a play if you know, if it's just the first 25% of the entire episode or the first 50%? I'm not so sure. Anchor has been quite vague with me so far. Most of our listeners come from Spotify, 84% of them. 86% of all listeners come from Malaysia, 4% Australia, 4% US, 2% Germany, 2% Singapore.
Wah, siapa dari Germany?
Siapa dari Germany?
Interesting.
Interesting. It could be Sophie though, because like she DM'd me the other day like saying that like this was quite a good idea. It was a great idea for a podcast, you know, to talk about our dance scene and the issues that like relate to our own local dance community. Mm-hmm. So it could be her, the 2%. Hi Sophie. Gender, in terms of gender, we are equal. Wow. So there's 50% female and 49% male. 1% not specified. I'm guessing that's a tracking issue. In terms of age, we are the most popular with people from 23 to 27 years old. And after that, the interest tapers off once people turn from 28 to 34 years old. Yeah, we do have a sizable portion of listeners 18 to 22 years old, you know.
That's like the age range of people that dance and would listen to podcasts. Yeah. I think that everyone in the like younger than 23 range tend to be like just on TikTok. Yeah.
Not just younger than 23, you know. I feel like, you know, people who are older than 40, they're also only on TikTok. My grandma's on TikTok, man. And
why,
like, because she's a bit hard of hearing, so she like plays it at full volume. And she'll just be like scrolling.
So you hear all the trending sounds.
Yeah, you hear all the trending sounds and stuff like that, you know. And I don't mean to knock on anybody who's on TikTok or whatever, you know, you guys do you, but some content can be just really weird, you know, can be really, really weird. So, I mean, I guess you can say it for like any other social media platform that you don't curate the content, right?
Yeah. I always end up on that side of TikTok in the middle of the night. I don't know why, but that's what happens. Part of the reason why I'm losing sleep.
Yes, exactly. Okay. I have a question for you guys. What do you guys plan or hope to achieve for this year? Individual goals or... Okay, I'll go first. For me, I want to reach out to more dancers that I don't know. It's been quite a blessing to have Shoes Off No Cap, because I feel like even though it's a tiny platform, but it's still a platform for me to go and reach out to like dancers that I don't know, that I would not normally have a chance to have a conversation with. Like much like this pre-K-pop competition showcase thing. Like, you know, I've never spoken to Stoppy ever in my life. And now I go talk to him. Now I know him. So yeah, things like that.
I think like for Sonk, Pushes of No Cap, is just continuing the podcast momentum. And yeah, like Iza said, just talk to people that we don't normally talk to. And I'm just excited to like see y'all organizing the showcase and possibly community class.
Possibly.
Yeah, possibly. And who knows, maybe I come back and then I'll organize as well. Possibly. Yeah, I guess like for me, it's just like keeping it up, even though like I'm traveling. So yeah, that would be a challenge for me personally.
Okay, I guess I have to go next. Goals for myself. So far is to keep up the momentum that I have in terms of dance. Because the last few months have been really crazy. I might want to actually tone it down a little bit. Because dancing and on average 50 classes a month, I wouldn't say it's very, very sustainable. Especially when I still have a full-time job and I freelance on the side as well. But I still want to explore more on how like people teach like different choreographers, how they listen to music. And then also like I'm trying to cipher more. So I've been going for like freestyle sessions almost most Fridays. And also like I wanna go for more battles. But so far, like I've only been to one. And that one was like a little bit weird. But it was still pretty fun. It was a really good first experience. But I want to go to like properly have a battle, like I don't know, 1-on-1 or 2-on-2 sometime soon. I'm thinking about the one that's organized by Yuta.
You guys should do 3-on-3.
3-on-3, guys.
Yeah, on the 19th. I mean, like, there's three of us.
There's three of us that's in Malaysia.
If anything goes wrong, we'll just ask Sean backflip. Okay.
I want to still continue getting better at dance because in the last few months, I felt like I've improved the most in like the shortest amount of time compared to like the last 3-4 years of dancing.
Really? Why is that?
Mainly because this few months, at least how I see it, is because of the people I was around. Mustang has such a good community. I'm just going to like keep saying this over and over again. People at Mustang are amazing. Also because that they have so many classes there and I just got unlimited pass, I could just keep going for a bunch of different classes, learn from a bunch of different instructors. All the people around me were also like super hype all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And like dance is a very social thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You feed off the energy of everybody else. Yeah. And at Mustang, there's just so much. For every class, there's just so much energy. That also like helped push me forward. Even on days where I'm like, my mind is super foggy, I'm tired, I can't do this. But then because of the people around me, that just gave me so much energy to do, just learn the choreo. And at some point, even though I'm like half dead, I'm still doing the choreo with my face. Like, you can't see under my mask, but I'm like half dead. yeah, like that has allowed me to like really, really push myself this last few months. And it's honestly been great. Yeah, I've never felt like this much improvement in such a short amount of time. So I hope to keep that going. So that's goals for myself. In terms of goals for Song or Shoes Off No Cap, I really hope to make like video podcasts also a thing for us and also to make us more accessible to people, being on Instagram, being on YouTube, just adapt our content so that we can like reach more people and hopefully influence more people and bring like a whole bunch of cool dancers onto the show so that we can speak to them, because that would be really cool. And there's like a whole bunch of people that we want to talk to but we couldn't get the last time. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, we bring them on this season. Yeah.
Yeah. Clap, 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 clap.
Wait, let me see if you can hear this.
Yeah, wait. Yeah. Applauses. Wait, I feel like we're saying too many good things about Mustang. I'm going to say one thing that Mustang can improve on. You know, if you Mustang admins are listening in. Sean says that Mustang's community is like the best ever. I would say that, yes, that is kind of true. But as a result, nobody else can get into class.
that's true.
I have no idea. I mean, I'm happy for you guys that your classes have been like selling out like hotcakes, but every time the class is available, it's immediately like there's 10 students, 10 slots already filled in. And I'm like, hey, this has only been made open like 15 minutes ago.
See, that's the thing. Like, I realized what's the difference between like in Malaysia and LA. I think it's all because of the pandemic, la, the lockdown, the different rules and regulations. Like in LA, they don't care how many people are in the class as long as you're like vaccinated or you show proof of negative COVID tests within 72 hours and they'll let you in. So that's the rule in LA. Mm-hmm. But in Malaysia, it's like there's limited, like spacing, yeah. You have to consider blah blah blah, which sucks. I hated that.
Yeah. I mean, I won't comment on that. I won't touch that with a 10-foot fall or so. But yeah, it is kind of interesting to think about, like, you know, because I'm sure that, like, dance, not just Mustang, but like many other dance studios, they still pay the instructors the same rate mm-hmm. that they used to, right? You know, but then now you have to like limit the number of students in the class. So your margins are really slim. Mm-hmm. So what do? You know, like you know you have demand for more students to come to your class. Do you make another class? But if you make another class, then you kind of have to like pay the instructor double, right? No instructor would teach two classes for the price of one. Right. Mm. So do you absorb the class? Yeah, it's still per head.
Okay.
So do you absorb the additional costs in order to like get more students, or do you, you know, charge more expensive per class? So I hope that we can explore all these questions to all the dance studio owners that we're about to get on this show soon.
How about Ellie?
Yeah, Ellie.
Yeah, Ellie.
For Shoes Off No Cap, I think my goal is to connect with our audience more, because I feel like there's a little community that we're growing, and like they're mainly our friends, but we are receiving DMs from like people we don't really know or we've never spoken to. And I think it's really cool to kind of like gather everyone onto our social media page. So that's something I want to see grow for Sunk. As well as like having more juicy conversations. I live for those.
Very juicy, right?
Oh, yes. I know. Those are the best conversations.
Like, I just love how some people just want to spill tea for no reason.
I think because we are already an empty cup. So we are providing the hot water with the podcast, and then people just come to dip in their tea inside. I don't know. It's like, it's not a very good analogy, but yeah, I try, guys.
Oh, personally, though, I do want to like really brush up on my teaching skills, because I actually announced on my Instagram story the other day that I'm open for private classes soon.
Yeah,
I've always been open, but I've never officially announced it, because I just kind of kept it within my students that at least come to my class, like Charmaine. I'm like trying to branch out to more people. Basically, I'm trying to also apply my teaching and learning post-grad cert to this so I can kind of like practice building a lesson plan and like recognize how I can teach certain things, because like with movement it's so different, right? It's not like ABC or math, it's not logic, it's a lot of like trial and error and really understanding how you move. So it's just like getting to the nitty-gritty details of all of that. So I'm hoping I can brush up on that and help people, basically.
You know, the thing about teaching is that like there's not many learning material that you can look for with regards to teaching, right? It's very hard to learn how to teach, basically.
Oh, yeah. So like basically what I'm going through right now, they're not really teaching you how to teach, but they're teaching you how people learn and like how you can approach certain materials and all these different learning styles. That's why like building a syllabus and lesson plan according to your specific like student is really important, because everybody's different. No one's gonna understand anything the same way. So yeah, I really like it. I think I just really have a passion for like education.
Nice.
Yeah.
Passion for education.
Yes.
Yo.
Education nation.
Yeah. Education nation.
I'm very like happy for Ellie. Like you seem to get your life together. I'm like,
that's what you always say, but you've lived with me. You know the amount of times that I'm just like crumbling in the kitchen, stirring my miso soup like with tears, saying like, Diana, today it was not good.
But at least you know kind of like what you want to do. Like, I'm still like very floaty. I don't know like where I'm going with dance, to be honest, still.
I mean, I still doubt myself, like whether I'm even fit for this, but I'm just going to give it a try. I feel like I can have something to offer with my teaching style. I'm still trying to even figure out what that is.
Yeah.
So I definitely don't have it figured out. I'm with you on the floatiness. So let's float together.
Let's float.
It's all flowed. Anything else you want to do to like kind of wrap up this conversation that we're having?
What did I say just now? Update pasal kita-kita, mana kita orang, how we be dancing, bila Diana balik dan semua yang sama waktu
Diana
dengan you.
Bila Diana balik? Oh, that's a good question.
Bila Diana nak balik ni?
Well, I honestly have no plans after April. After April, yeah. Because like after this, I'm basically going to go like a Euro trip with my cousin. So, and then after that, I'm probably just going to chill in the UK or Europe. So, yeah. And I've already like booked a kind of like a retreat in July in Spain.
Oh, yeah.
And you say that you don't have your life together. Excuse me.
That's not together. Like, that's why I need the retreat.
Oh, okay.
I'm so happy you're putting your Duolingo to use. When I lived with her every morning, I would hear like, da-ding, da-ding. It's like all these Spanish words, sentences. And I'm just like, you know, good for you.
Oh, God. Like, Duolingo sucks, though.
Sorry, Duolingo.
Yeah, I gave up on Duolingo after like 3 months.
Then I found another app, right?
But yeah, I still need to like actually speak Spanish with a Spanish person. still learning. So maybe like after that, maybe in August, we'll see how the restriction is like in Malaysia, like if I have to quarantine and all that or not.
Yeah,
we'll see how.
All right, I'm excited for your journey. I'm excited for those YouTube videos.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Pressure.
Not pressure, motivation.
Yeah.
Motivation.
For Ellie, for Sean, for Izaz. Yes.
Yes.
For Song.
You know that snake video I did in the Grand.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love it.
You put that screenshot of my text. Like you were literally like, you put your hands together and you were like wiggling like a snake through the sand. Pretend wiggling through the sand.
I tried.
You have to do another one.
The thing about me is that people have to request something and I'll do it. Like, I'm a people pleaser at the core.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Not only is she unpacking her life, she's unpacking her trauma. Oh, guys, you should take that. So I've been taking that, how do you say it? Enneagram?
Enneagram.
What's it called?
It's called an Enneagram test.
How do you spell that?
Yeah.
Like E-N-N-E-A-G-R-A-M. So like, yeah, so you find out which type you are. There's type 1 to type 9. And I learned that I'm a type 5.
So I recommend people, if you want to discover yourself, do the Enneagram and do the 16 personalities.
What does it show you? You know, like, what do you learn from it?
I think for me, like, learn more about like how I work. They make it obvious about who you are kind of thing. So like once you do the test and then they kind of like say it back to you, this is what you do, this is how you react to certain things, and this is, you know, how with your personality you should act in a relationship, or not sure, lot it's like recommendations kind of thing.
It's like general guidelines based on
general guideline.
I really like this test because it's like it's a nice window into your personality, and there's still like different levels within the type that you are.
Mm-hmm,
so it's pretty interesting. And like there's this Instagram account where like they show for each type what kind of gifts you can get them, how they are when they're dealing with conflict, what is self-love to this type. And for me, it hits pretty close to home.
Yeah, once you know your type or your 16 personalities, like you can share it with people and then people can understand you better and how to like interact with you in a way.
Okay.
Like it's good for much like friendships and relationships.
So have people understood you better after that?
It's like a window into like how you are at work as well, as Diana said. Are you an INFJ?
I see. I mean, I remember taking it once, you know, and they said that I was a mediator. So I mediate arguments or stuff like that. Or you know, what two parties want, you know, so that they come to compromise.
Sounds about right. The 16 personalities, they have this spectrum thingy, even though like it's, I'm always like, when I take it again, it's always INFJ, but then the spectrum,
the scale, right?
Yeah, the scale, introverted and extroverted. Yeah. Sometimes my extrovertedness is slightly almost to the middle part, like,
Yeah, I see that too. Because I'm every time I take it, I'm an ENFJ, but like my extrovert introvert scale it would like go either closer to the E sometimes or like away, but it's always very in the middle to the left. So like towards the E.
Yeah, last time I did it, I got INTJ.
Ooh. That's interesting.
Yeah. INTJ, you're very okay. I know some INTJs. Their brain is really smart.
If brain always turning, it never knows when to stop. And sometimes I just need to like stop my brain from working.
I understand you're a COVID break now.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah. My COVID break just ended up being just a physical break, not my brain break. My brain was just like still running around. What I do?
I don't know. For me, like knowing about my personality, the way I work, how my brain works also helps in dance.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. That'd be kind of pretty cool to like see how we can apply this to dance and how we do take classes, how we dance with people, how we dance with ourselves.
Yeah.
I really want to like see sometime if we ever get the chance to do this, have like the dancers we know all take this and see if similar personalities tend to dance a certain way.
Oh.
Yeah. Like if Z and John
That's
were to take it, I wonder if they have like similar like things because their styles are very similar.
Yeah, that's funny because Arif is an ENFJ.
So this should be like a side. This is like a side episode, the extra bonus episode.
But it's too much of a coincidence. So we'll have to find other people as well, like John Z, maybe like even Izaz.
Yeah.
John.
We'll have to do that and then we'll just have to tabulate all the data and then we'll draw some conclusions.
Damn.
Yeah, excellent. I love it. Publish a paper on this.
Yeah, then we'll publish a paper. Yeah.
All right. Guys, if you're listening, make sure you take your test. Let us know.
Yeah. Investigating the relationship between your own personality and dancers living in Klang Valley between 18 to 30 years old. Yeah.
Panjangnya title.
Memanglah title kena specific kan.
Izaz at all 2022.
Yeah. Izaz at all 2022. Abstract. I dance people like. All right. How are we going to wrap this up?
Well, guys, looks like there's so many updates to look forward to, huh?
So keep your ears and eyes peeled. Follow our social media.
Ellie, would you like to tell the audience where they can find us?
Don't forget to follow us for more updates and funny dance content shenanigans at Shoes Off No Cap on Instagram.
And where can they listen to like our previous episodes?
If you want to listen to our previous podcast, you can find us on any podcast streaming platform.
Diana, how do you normally end it.
Okay. Subscribe to us if you haven't already. And yeah, thanks for listening. Take care, stay healthy, stay safe, and keep dancing.